It's delightfully catchy, isn't it?
Where did that come from?
It came from YouTube.
Of course it did.
I mean, it was only a matter of time until somebody did this. Everybody's talking about it on social media anyway.
Talking about what, Tom?
So funny you would ask, Catherine. What a great segue into this odd experiment that we're doing, quarantined in our apartment here in Atlanta, Georgia. Why are we quarantined in our apartment in Atlanta, Georgia, Catherine?
Oh, no, not me. Go.
Okay, well, for those of you listening to this or not listening to this, or if this even ever sees the light of day, a lot has happened in this country, in this world, in the past, I would say, year, in the development of the COVID-19 virus.
Year?
More than a year?
Way less than a year.
Okay, I'm giving it way too much, I guess, credit. It's actually happened way more fast.
Yeah, I think November was the first sighting of it in China.
Okay. But anyway.
And it's now March.
Yeah, we are here. It's March 2020. I'm not going to give a date. I will say that, I guess for when it comes to days in quarantine, I would say this is probably day three of official quarantine days, but it's our first start of a full week of quarantine in the United States of America.
Well, it's a self-quarantine. Social distancing is really what it
is. Okay, social distancing. Back to what I was saying. So the coronavirus, COVID-19, has basically exponentially grown throughout the world, started in China, grew rapidly, infecting many, many people with a very high death rate at the time. It then spread basically all around the world and has reared its ugly head here in the United States. I would say it probably started showing up in the United States in January, late January.
I didn't personally start hearing about it until late February, maybe, but maybe.
And like Catherine said, here we are in March, and we are now in a state of national emergency, which was issued on Friday by President Trump.
Yeah, see, I think it's silly not to put a date to it because, you know,
you're right.
Everything changes every single day. And in fact, in a week, this could sound relevant. Ridiculous.
It's not relevant. So today's date is March the 16th, 2020.
Yeah, Monday.
Monday.
Yep.
I'll put some crazy like infographic noise there or something. but basically, yeah, things have gotten pretty rampant here in the States. Major cities are starting to declare self-quarantining. Restaurants are shutting down. Tons of events all across the world and the country have canceled events like concerts. All sporting events have basically canceled. There has been a decree in most states of not having gatherings any larger than 10 to 20 people.
Though that was the White House today. The White House today suggested don't gather in groups of more than 10, which is actually pretty sobering advice from an administration that has until now wanted to ignore this. So that's kind of a big deal, I think.
It's a very big deal, and I'd like to get into that at some point. But yeah. And the CDC also has weighed in to say kind of the severity of the issue.
Yeah, I think they said less than 50. So you should gather in groups of less than 50. But like I said, White House today said 10.
And and it's just been quite an interesting amount of events unfolding rapidly every day. I find myself actually very glued to news, to Twitter, to various news sources, and just trying to see what's the latest bombshell? What's the big thing that's dropped?
There's always something new.
There's always something new. In a sense, it's this almost morbid thing, too, where it's like,
sure,
what's the death toll up to? How many people are infected?
Mm-hmm. What new celebrity is infected?
Yeah,
today it's Idris Elba.
Yeah, Idris Elba came out today and said that he did test positive for coronavirus. Last week, it was Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson came out and said that they got coronavirus.
NBA player, I don't know his name.
So it has just been like watching the dominoes fall here with this whole situation, hence leading us here to this kind of self-quarantine mode. And we figured we're going to be kind of at this for a while. I don't know, possibly for the indefinite future.
I'm
not really sure.
Weeks.
Possibly a few weeks.
Maybe months.
I mean, one of the things that constantly happens in the news cycle is a lot of this is modeled after Italy. Recently, Italy had kind of taken the same path the United States did, where Italy was saying, hey, you know, a few cases had popped up in Italy. This was like maybe 2 weeks ago.
They say we're 9 or 10 days behind Italy.
Correct. And at that time, again, 2 weeks ago, people were saying, exactly echoing what you're seeing here in the United States, oh, hey, everything's fine. Life is normal. You know, everybody's out.
If you feel
at bars.
Sick, put yourself away.
Right. If you feel sick, put yourself away. You know, flash forward to now, Italy is in a literal state of lockdown. Their healthcare system is absolutely pressed to the max. They're literally having doctors decide who lives and dies over there in some health institutes. It is a super ugly situation in Italy. And like Catherine said, we're a matter of days behind the trajectory that they are facing.
Which
so
is an
that
advantage.
That is really scary.
We have a model, which is Italy, to say what not to do. The question is how much of that will really be implemented here. We're basically just trying to do our part. I think a lot of people aren't staying home, but we're trying to do our part and say, look, this is what we think people should be doing, and therefore we're going to practice what we preach, and so we are staying home.
We really are. We made that decision early on to kind of take this thing seriously. And
not until probably Thursday or Friday last week, so a matter of days ago. But in this in this insane progression of events, every day is like an eternity. So we decided just a few days ago, but it feels like
it's a good way to put it.
Yeah,
and it's true. And what I really hope for, and I'm starting to possibly see more of it happen, is that you're starting to see it kind of become a sobering truth to more and more people. And I think maybe people are starting to wake up to the reality of it. I mean, it was super disappointing over the weekend in this country where
unbelievable
bars were at like maximum capacity in New York City. There were people tweeting that, you know, people were out in Nashville, not fearless about this thing. And everybody was just had to be brave about it. I mean, the mentality was frightening.
I think, too, that, you know, the death rate isn't that high, especially for younger folks. It's something like, I don't know, 1%. But that's 10 times more than the flu, which we've been reminded of like every day. And not only that, but it's much higher for people with certain pre-existing conditions and for people over the age of 60, it goes up to like 3 or 4%. Over the age of 70, it goes up to like 8%. And over the age of 80, it goes up to like 15%.
Yeah.
So the problem, I think, and, you know, they talk about flattening the curve, which I barely understand, to be honest with you. But I think the essence of it is that I might spread it to somebody who can't survive it. And that's not a risk I want to take.
Exactly. And I think that's maybe where people aren't truly understanding why people are saying it's important to self-quarantine is it's not about you. It's not about you. It's about infecting somebody that's perhaps elderly and won't be able to handle the virus very well. Somebody that has already a predetermined disposition against it with some kind of ailing health issue.
It goes way up for cancer. It goes way up for heart disease. It goes way up for diabetes, which a lot of people suffer from. All those things. And old age, which is the simplest we're all going to get there, we hope. And so
it's just yeah. And I think that going back to what you had mentioned earlier is that the real issue I think happens in this country, especially, you know, nowadays in the United States, is where people are accepting their information from. And it really hurts when it's coming from an administration like the Trump administration, where it's basically an administration that's been draped in accusations of fake news to the rest of the media, and also
blaming
what
I
would call is a propaganda machine, and truly churning out only the points that are beneficial to them, to their party, to the GOP who's in power, and also to a president who's approaching re-election in November. And it's actually now been met with detrimental side effects.
I mean, I do think that got better today, you know, with the advisement that people congregate in groups of less than 10. And they also sort of acknowledge this could be going on until July or August. Those are big acknowledgments, I think, from the White House. However, they're not the only voices that conservatives and other people listen to. Tom, you were just telling me stories today about governors or maybe it was senators. I don't really know. You know, politicians out at restaurants and saying, go support your local pub.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know one of them, because he's a jerk off, part of my French, is Devin Nunes, who is a Republican. He actually was all over, I believe, Fox News, shocker, basically stating that it was okay to go out, not to kind of give in to the kind of hype machine and the threat of coronavirus.
I've seen it called anti-capitalist.
Anti-capitalism, I've heard mentioned, and basically said, like, you should go out, you and your family, to restaurants. There's no lines. You can go out and have a nice meal. Extremely dangerous rhetoric coming from people like a politician, like a senator or a governor who has pull and who people listen to. So for people to be that recklessly dangerous and spread false information, I mean, in my personal opinion, it's a crime. It's a crime against humanity to be doing this at this level of threat and danger. And I hope it stops. And I hope that we as a society can kind of get ahead of this thing, because if we can maybe start tapering it off now, that curve can flatten.
Well, I hope the message from the White House starts to maybe change what other people are saying. And we'll see, you know, to be determined how that's really going to go. And I understand, too, you know, I'd love to support local businesses during this time. It's just it's tough. You know,
it is tough.
You can't really go congregate at a restaurant. You can't really go sit at the bar. You just really can't. But on the other hand, I really do understand, too, that people are suffering. I mean, I myself won't have work for a long time because I'm a freelance / business owner, and there is just none of my work on the horizon for a very long time. Luckily, I think I'll be okay for a little while. I'm sure other people can't say the same. So I get it too. It's a really tough time to be going through for a lot of people.
Without a doubt. And that's something I wanted to talk about too, is just the, you know, the ripple effect that this is going to have and is already starting to have on the well-being of just everybody's day-to-day life, from having to be in quarantine, from not being able to go out to do your favorite hobbies and things you like to do. Things like movie theaters are closing all over the place. Again, nobody can go see sporting events. You know, it's going to hurt local business owners. It's going to hurt industries. I don't think there's going to be a real industry that won't be safe from this.
Medical.
You know, unfortunately.
They'll have jobs.
And they will be very overworked and tired and exhausted.
Yeah, true.
And they'll drop like flies, unfortunately. And it's just crazy. And I think that we're going to dip into a recession if we haven't already started. The stock market has been terrifyingly dipping and falling drastically.
With every day.
Even with the Fed inserting money trying to save it, it seems like that was almost kind of the last shot they had, and it really didn't go well because already it's, I think the market froze today.
For the third time, the stopgap measure came into play for the third time in the past like week and a half.
So, you know, here we are. We're set up on this kind of unknown trajectory as a country, as a race, as human beings facing this thing. And it's just, I know we're all looking down the barrel at possible hard times, and we've talked at great length about this, of how, you know, life is going to change a little bit for everybody. We're all kind of in it together. Try to be compassionate and understanding to your neighbors, to people around you. And hey, I mean, I'm always trying to be a silver lining person, and I'm trying to be that way, you know, and this is really Monday, the start of this quarantine. I know in our day-to-day lives, we're trying to find ways to fill time and feel fulfilled, and hence we're doing a freaking podcast in our living room trying to, I guess, exercise some demons and talk about things. And I think it's just, we're going to see this kind of new wave of communication, of how people work from home, of content that will be created from this. So
I'm really intrigued by that content idea. You know, we work in video production, and with the technology that exists, I just wonder if, I don't know, anywhere from YouTube companies up to major production studios, I wonder if there's going to be some creativity in how to create new content with people working from home. I'm really intrigued by that.
I'm intrigued too, especially in the world of film and television, which is a very hands-on group industry. Making movies, making TV shows, making even you know, commercial work is still taking a village. So how do you take kind of that large-scale industry, shrink it down, but still allow people to collaborate in a possible remote setting?
Yeah.
And that's a challenge that I would think we can meet and possibly figure out, and I'm interested to see it. I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Well, I'm wondering, will everybody just go home and wait until we can go back to the old way, or will something evolve from this? I am really interested to see, because I think it's possible something could evolve from this, and I almost think it's a shame if it doesn't.
I agree, and I think that we can't necessarily sit around and say, oh, in 2 weeks, we're just going to come back to this and hope it's better. And then in that 2 weeks, if it isn't, we'll say, okay, we'll wait another 2 weeks.
Even the White House says July or August.
So, you know, with thinking that that is a worst case scenario or a possible reality, I think it truly does make these industries have to step up to the plate and try for some new ideas. I actually read today something interesting. Rob McElhenney, who is
Sonny,
the It's Always Sunny creator, came out on Twitter, and I like him. He's kind of a forward-thinking dude. He's a little brash. I mean, obviously, if you watch It's Always Sunny, you can understand where that comes from. I really liked his kind of sentiment, and he challenged studios, and he challenged TV showrunners with this same sentiment. He said, hey, guys, we need to figure this out. I guess him and his Sunny crew had already kind of created this possible contingency plan that they want to start to try in 2 weeks. I didn't read too far into exactly what kind of the step-by-step was. It did sound like they were going to try to reconvene people back into physical production settings, but a lot of it was to take a lot of precautionary steps, like an on-set medic who would have to clear everyone to come back to work, how they would have to sterilize and clean the sets through a CDC standard. There would have to be an on-set medic. His biggest challenge to studios was to still continue to pay people throughout the hiatus of production, which is a big deal.
Yeah.
Now, the one point he made, which I thought was super interesting, was that, you know, a lot of these production heads, a lot of these showrunners and, you know, these production companies, you know, they've benefited wildly from the success of these shows, from the success of films. The people that are below the line, in many essences, camera guys, makeup artists, all these other people that are a pinnacle part of making these films and TV shows, they're not pay-to-play people. They are paycheck-to-paycheck people. So it will be interesting to see how that dynamic works. And you take out that outside of the film industry, that goes for everybody right now that is just being told, go home, you shouldn't be at work, you shouldn't convene with more than 10 people at your job.
Well, for those who don't,
how's that going to work
in our industry? I think let's specify, you know, a lot of these folks, if not all of the ones you just named, are day players. So they get paid for the day of work that they show up. And so when we're all told not to show up, that person just doesn't get paid. And that goes for my job too. So that's, I just wanted to specify, I'm not sure everybody necessarily knows how people are paid on the movie sets.
And thank you for specifying that. And that is true. And that goes for people in film and TV. I was reading today, you know, especially now that there's been this kind of marching order to close bars and restaurants, servers, tipped employees, bartenders. You know, this is unfortunate because now it's like, hey, you know, you may have rent due in April, but now you're out about 2 weeks, maybe even more in the indefinite future. And you don't really have a way to pay your bills.
Yeah. Shift workers is the same
shift
thing.
Workers,
you're absolutely right.
You know, and where I work, I am an hourly employee as well. I mean, I've been basically put
but
on
you're full-time.
I am full-time. I've been put on a kind of stay-at-home hiatus for the time being, but everybody's thinking the same thing, and everybody's starting to get a little worried about what is the plan? How is this going to work out? Am I going to be able to literally pay my bills?
I think the answer is a lot of people won't be able. I can say that from just how quickly my life has changed. And I know it must have changed the same for a lot of people. So I know that people won't be able, a lot of people, who knows how many, but a lot of people won't be able to maintain anything, you know, staying out of debt. People won't be able to maintain staying out of debt. And that's a scary thing.
I do believe it's going to spiral us into a bad situation financially all across the country. Mm-hmm. And I think we're going to have to all embrace for that. I mean, meanwhile, our government is sitting there twiddling its thumbs, trying to all agree on a relief bill. Well, I guess we can all hold our breath until that happens. I was reading today that it's being held up currently by, shocker, a bunch of GOP congressmen who have to read it with a fine-tooth comb. And, you know, obviously... we do draw party lines there. I really hope they speed this up and figure it out because time is of the essence.
Well, I want to point out, though, that still doesn't... They're still talking about full-time or part-time workers who are tied to a company and saying, for instance, with paid sick leave, that they should still be paid by their company. But what if you're a shift worker? What if you're a day player on a TV show? Those folks aren't covered under what we're talking about still. So a large swath of people, we're not even discussing what we do about this.
And then I saw something today that said, like, Mitt Romney had mentioned that there should be some kind of a stimulus package to pay people, every person in the United States. I thought he said $1,000
a month. Yes, I do. I love that idea, and I think it's going to help a lot of people. But I also wonder how far $1,000 goes.
That's true. And that there's you know, unfortunately, we're in a scary situation, not just with the financial well-being of the future of this country, but literally how to handle the actual epidemic that's happening right now. And it's scary. There's just there's more questions than answers. And that's why I think everybody is in this kind of state of perpetual panic and nervousness. You know, you can the anxiety is palpable.
Well, on that topic, and this ties back in also to the $1,000 we just mentioned, you know, the anxiety is palpable. People are at grocery stores under guidance from maybe not necessarily the federal government, although I think maybe the CDC may have mentioned this, but advisement to stock up on 2+ weeks worth of groceries, for instance. I was reading, and I guess I should have known this inherently, but it took me reading it to realize there are some people who can't buy that many groceries. And also, you know, we were at the grocery store and the people in front of us asked the clerk, so what's the average bill been like recently, knowing, you know, that people are out there trying to get all the toilet paper they can possibly get their hands on. And she said, well, I don't know about the average, but I've seen lots of $500 bills recently. And so, again, back to $1,000, is that 2 shopping trips? How far does that get you?
And you're right. And it's true in this day and age where it's like, okay, you know, go grocery shopping and make sure you stock up for, I mean, when we went, you know, we were very fortunate. Our grocery store had enough stuff for us to get. We did get probably 2 to 3 weeks worth of food. And we spent a large amount of money.
Almost like, $500.
Like we had a little bit of sticker shock. And yeah, you figure that's just one trip.
Yep. And that lasts us.
And we're 2 people.
Right. And that lasts us a while, but you'll have to go shopping again. It's food. You eat 3 times a day.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. And it's just kind of one of the cogs in the wheel right now of this entire thing. Again, I try to be positive. I try to hope that we do start doing the whole social distancing thing more. We start taking it seriously, I think, with more states and governors of states taking kind of a bigger action toward enforcing people to stay home. It's all about giving healthcare professionals a fighting chance too in each state to deal with this. You had mentioned earlier that we went on a binge watch of all of the possible worst Contagion movies that we could watch yesterday, one of them being 2011's Contagion by Steven Soderbergh.
Well, the whole world did. I mean, I noticed online that's what people
just
were watching.
Just to amp
and I
up
thought,
our anxiety
hey,
some more.
Let's watch that. Well, I was actually going to try to transition, too. We've basically just recapped the news in the past few minutes here.
We have. We talked a lot about, I guess, what everybody already knows about.
Well,
what's
that's
going
just
on.
It. We're all working from home and reading our phones and getting this news already. So, in order, let's shift a little bit.
What are we doing?
What are we doing? So, okay, we watch Contagion. We're in the middle of Outbreak, which led from our viewing of Contagion. We started, I mentioned the Outbreak Monkey, and we said, oh, let's watch that.
And we went on Netflix, and shocker, it's in the top 10 most watched films on Netflix right now.
Because
everybody's in the same state of mind.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily, boy, I guess I would just call it relevant. I don't know that it's all that grim or whatever. It's just relevant, you know? Like, and you do. You watch the movie and you go, yeah, we've been talking about flattening the curve. We've been talking about the R-naught of this disease. We've been talking about all these things. So it's super relevant. It gives you a whole new, respect maybe, but just perspective on the movies. And you feel like, yeah, we're in this. Again, I will repeat, I am so thrilled that it's not as deadly as the Contagion virus was. And
or the
especially Outbreak
virus.
Good Lord, that one's terrifying.
That African Motaba.
Woo! So, yeah,
we're not hemorrhaging
that
from our eyes and, you know, basically our insides are being liquidated. So
liquefied, right?
Yeah, liquefied. Good for that. Good for that. So there's talk about that silver lining.
Yep.
But yeah, it's funny because...
So what else are we doing?
Well, before we move on to what else, I will say that I guess the mystique of watching these things, and maybe this is also an aid to kind of our culture that we live in today, is maybe that's going to help people understand things a little bit better. I think the way people kind of like get stuff is they do maybe watch a movie like that, you know, and I'm not pointing the finger at millennials or anybody, but I'm saying, yo, maybe check a couple of those movies out and just get a feel for like, yo, we have these kind of parallel things going on here. I'm not saying we're there yet, but it's an eye opener, and maybe that's better than trying to sit and read news every day that you may not care about.
Yeah, I mean, Contagion, at the end of the movie, there's trash piled up in the streets. They've been on quarantine for, like, official quarantine. We are not, by the way, on official quarantine here in the United States, but official quarantine for over a year in that movie, and, like, prom at home that dad had to cook up prom, which is
Matt
creepy
Damon
as hell, by the way. So, anyway, yeah, we're not there, but it is, like you said, I think there is some value to thinking about why we're talking about it now instead of like waiting for it to get to that, I guess.
Yep.
So, yeah. What else? So we're podcasting. Here we are.
Yeah, this was the new thing we decided to start doing this week. We'll probably try to do it, you know, semi-regularly.
Because this is a creative pursuit you can do in quarantine.
Yeah, exactly. For anybody that's listening and is wondering, what could you do? Well, unfortunately, if you don't have the gear, I wouldn't be going to a guitar center right now and picking everything up.
You can do this shit on iPhones.
But you could probably find ways to do it. And, you know, look, you know, it's a way to kind of exercise your demons, talk about things you may want to get off your chest. I read something that said, like, you should journal, too. We both journal. I'm kind of new into the journaling game. I started this year. But this is just another way to kind of like talk about current events, talk about what's going on. It's kind of like a little bit of a bookmark in history, too. I don't know. I'm not saying, like I made the joke when we were talking earlier, it's not like, you know, aliens are going to come down and eviscerate us and this could be the last living record of mankind. If it is, I'm sorry. But yeah, it could be simple and fun. It can definitely pass the time. We have been playing board games,
including Pandemic, also Dark.
Yeah.
Oddly, great game,
oddly
though.
Relevant. Really great game. For those of you, shout out to Pandemic. You can grab it at any Walmart. If you can get past the mobs of people killing each other for toilet paper, you can find it in the toys and game section.
You can probably order it online, which is perhaps more advisable.
Yeah. Actually, I think I did see it on Amazon. And it's actually a ton of fun. We've played it several times. It's a co-op board game. You can play up to like 8 people, I think, 7 to 8 people. And it's full of strategy and it's really fun and it's very relevant. You're basically working as kind of like a CDC WHO organization going around and saving the world from these killer viruses.
Yeah, I love the co-op nature of it because I find a lot of board games, you know, maybe this is only true in a group of the two of us, but I think it's true for groups that are larger. You know, you're all essentially holding your cards and strategizing on your own.
Yeah.
And it doesn't, you know, if you're laughing with your buddy next door, you're not strategizing your next move in the game. Like, I just find that it's a little weird in terms of a social activity to be close to the chest with trying to strategize.
Yeah.
So I love the co-op aspect of
it.
Totally. You're hashing out, what do we do next? And how do we approach this? And what's going to happen three moves down the line. And that's sort of that's what we're all doing at home, wondering what's going to happen three moves down. So it's been fun. I love that game. So that's been fun.
Yeah, that has been a fun thing to do. So yeah, I'd say if you can play that or any other board game, or, you know, hey, if there's a board game we need to be playing, let me know. I'd totally be down.
We cooked last night. That was fun.
Yeah, we've been cooking. We actually decided to get in the spirit of St. Patrick's Day, yeah, which I believe is this week, right?
Tomorrow.
Hey, now. And we made some really delicious corned beef.
Yep. That was fun. Used the Instant
really
Pot.
Good.
Followed a recipe. Talked to his mom about what she did. Made it sort of a social activity.
Shout out to Linda Barilli. Thank
That's
you
right.
for that corned beef recipe.
That's right. So that was fun. You know, there's we're sort of homebodies anyway, so we haven't strayed from our usual routines much yet. I'm already getting a sense of that cabin fever, though.
I'm starting
to wonder what activities we're going to have to toss in the mix to make this a little easier to stomach. You know, it's not just, it's that thing where somebody tells you you can't do something and now you want to do it. So somebody tells me I shouldn't leave my house, and I'm not going to because I believe it's the right thing to do. But man, now all of a sudden I want to go into the world. So
I'd say that it's not getting easier by any stretch. Another thing we've been doing too is we try to kind of break the monotony. I would say we started kind of the self-quarantining thing over the weekend, but the one thing that we try to do is we try to get out and walk.
Yeah.
We also picked up hiking this year, so we actually have been hiking for a few months, and we did that over the weekend. That was fun. Kind of just go to went to a couple parks and walked around.
It's a pretty solo activity. I think it's something that we can maintain during this.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, God, we were out yesterday. You know, we decided to kind of just walk. We've been really trying to get our Starbucks in before that gets obviously closed to the public. And so we went and got some coffee and we walked around, and I was really surprised that just a lot of families and people were out. But I get it. You know, you got to stretch your legs. It's kind of just, it does break that that four walls feeling that you can get when you're in your place for a long time.
Yeah, and we don't have kids. I imagine it's tough on kids and tough on parents who are having to entertain kids. And, you know, we were just talking today about how tough it must be to have to homeschool your kids. You know, we're sitting around thinking, what game can we play next? And what movie are we going to watch?
Can't imagine.
And these parents are out there having to, like, literally school their children so they don't get behind in their studies. Ugh. And, you know, their brains are ready to learn, and you can't really waste that time. So, man, shout out to the parents
more power
schooling
to
their
you.
Children right now.
Yeah, and it's tough, and it's like, obviously, it's one of those things where you're not just entertaining yourselves, you're entertaining your family, your children, and...
And there's no escape. I mean, like...
no escape.
I love you, and but I'm also glad our apartment has several rooms we can split up in if we want to, and, you know, again, there's some privilege to that. I wonder what it's like for families in smaller places or with young children. You can't just close the door on them, you know, so... Boy, it's got to be, I think over the next few weeks, we're going to see, I think we're going to see two things. One, I think it's going to be kind of tough, you know, like, for instance, in Contagion, they're beating each other in the streets over the meals coming out of the trucks. We're not there, but, you know, I think there's some anxiety and some human fear and being cooped up and all that. I can see that coming to a head sooner probably rather than later even.
Absolutely.
But also, you know, in tragedy or times of toughness, people also come out of the woodwork and show you like what humanity's all about.
Oh,
I think we'll see some really beautiful moments too. So I think it'll be a fair mix.
I'm really hoping for that. Obviously, I think with the onset of all this in the past few days, a lot of the news media is kind of these stories of exactly the opposite. It's all people being terrible and hoarding toilet paper and fighting and stabbing each other in Walmarts. So again, there's a kind of an onslaught of fear that comes in the beginning. We hope we can all settle into this. Again, we had mentioned, you know, we're kind of being modeled after Italy. I know, like, one of the nicest videos that was out recently was, like, all these people in quarantine singing with each other in Italy. It seems like possibly people are settling into that kind of mode over there. And just to realize, as people, like, we're in this together, you know?
Separately, but together.
Separately, and it sucks for everybody,
yeah,
you know? And it's just, like, do your part individually to just try to be good. For the people that you love and care about, reach out to them. Make sure they're doing good. Call them. You know, it's that weird thing where you get shut off from other things, and maybe you start to see the value in the things that you may not pay attention to. And maybe that's what this could actually be. It's like a grand social experiment, you know?
Well, we'll see.
I'm hoping for the best.
I think there's a lot more to be seen. And, you know, as we've mentioned several times, you know, everything changes every day. There's new news every day. So with each new day comes, I don't know, new opportunity perhaps, maybe new tragedy, you know, all yet to be seen. And, you know, I joked at the beginning that without stating the date, this could all be completely irrelevant and almost silly. And so I'm also eager to see, sort of as a diary of sorts, what are we going to have to say about this in a few days? How different will it be, or how much the same will it be? So
I like that. Well, yeah, I think we could wrap it up for now. This is obviously kind of this grand experiment, us trying this. Thanks for listening. We'll continue to come back and do this, whether we do it, you know, a few times a week or whatever. Catherine's right. I think things will change and things will develop, and we can try to get on and start talking about it. And maybe we'll have picked up cool new hobbies.
I hope so.
Maybe I'll turn into, you know, doing macrame, or I'm a sewer by the time we come back. I'm not really sure. But hang in there. Everything's going to be good. Love thy neighbor. And again, you know, let's try to find the silver lining. Be good to one another. And we'll talk soon.
That's right.
Ciao.
Bye.